Great. Well, as we heard read to us just a moment ago from Christian Michael, and as we've just been singing about, on that very first night that Jesus was born, there were some shepherds on the hills outside Jerusalem. And as you can imagine, there on the hillside, it was very quiet and very dark. But then, all of a sudden, God appeared and a bright light shone all around. And the angel that appeared there, said to them this. He said, "Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Now, this was the very best kind of news that these shepherds could have ever heard. And this morning, we're going to discover just why that was. And to help us do that, I've brought with me three of my own Christmas presents, which I thought that the children here would like to help me open. Do you think that would be a good idea? I know it's not quite Christmas Day, but I thought as we're all together, you know, you might like to see what I've got for Christmas, yeah? Okay, so I hope you think that's a good idea. I actually put the presents in a big red stocking, okay? And I can't find where I put that big red stocking. So can anyone tell me where that big red... Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Ah, that's the reaction I wanted. Yeah, yeah, it's behind. Oh, how could I have missed it, eh? It's behind me, yes. Right, okay. So, who would like to come and open this first present? Okay, should we have Daniel at the front? What's going to be in here, I wonder? Are you any good at opening presents? Okay, get some practice in now, ready for Christmas Day. That's it. Just rip it open. That wrapping paper's not going to last long in your house, is it? Okay, what is that? I think it needs to be unwrapped again. It's two layers. Look at that! Wow, fantastic! My very own Christmas jumper. You know what? Actually, this is my very first Christmas jumper. I've never, ever had a Christmas jumper before. Oh, but this year, I saw lots of people walking around with them, wearing them, and this year I thought, you know what? I really hope that someone buys me a Christmas jumper. Well, I'm going to put this on. Thank you for helping me unwrap that. You can go and sit back down, Daniel. I'm going to put this on. I'll put my mic back on his nose or something like that. There we go. It's a nice thick jumper anyway. A bit tight. Thought a large would be all right, but obviously not. Right, okay. Now, I've told you what I wanted this Christmas. What are you hoping for this Christmas, I wonder? Anyone like to tell me? Maybe someone who's sitting very close to you will make some notes. And you never know, you might get what you're hoping for. Right, what are you hoping for, Naomi? An electric Furby. Do you hear that, Joel? Electric Furby. Anybody else? A robot dog called Texter. Okay. Anyone else? Tell me what they're hoping for this Christmas. Yep, at the back. A rugby ball. All right. And anyone else? Yep. A new boiler. But when you find a plumber, can you let us know and then we can... A new boiler. Okay, well, if you've got any other present ideas, you can tell me later on, all right? Okay, well, going back to that very first Christmas, one of the things that the angels told those shepherds while they were waiting on that hillside was that Jesus, the Messiah, had come. And when they were told that, the shepherds suddenly realised that this was just what everyone had been hoping for. They'd been hoping for a Messiah. You see, for years and years and years, people have been looking forward to a time when God would send a special king to them. In fact, that's what the name Messiah means. It means a chosen one, someone that God had promised and been promising to send them for hundreds of years. In fact, if you look back in the Old Testament part of the Bible, which was written hundreds of years before Jesus was actually born, you'll see that God's promised to send a special king through lots and lots of different people at different times and in different places. Indeed, if you start to dig a bit deeper into the Bible, you'll begin to discover that there were well over 300 promises made in the Old Testament about Jesus and his life, each of which Jesus fulfilled exactly. Now, I wonder if you've ever thought to yourself just how amazing that really is. Well, if you haven't, let me just show you this. Because some clever mathematicians have worked out that the chances of one person like Jesus fulfilling just 8 of these Old Testament promises is 1 in 100,000 trillion. Okay, I'm told, that's what that number is. 100,000 trillion. That's 1 with a whole lot of noughts after it, isn't it? And that's just the odds of fulfilling 8 of those Old Testament promises. So you can imagine to fulfill over 300 promises, as Jesus did during his lifetime, is quite incredible and unique. And yet he did. And just to prove to you that I'm not making this all up, let me just show you 3 of these promises which Jesus fulfills, specifically concerning his birth. And the first promise is found in Isaiah chapter 7. We read there, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Now this verse tells us that the Messiah's mother would be a virgin. And that's exactly what Mary was. As astonishing as that sounds, Mary was a virgin. Then another verse in the book of Isaiah says this, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, in that verse, amongst other things, we are told that this Messiah would be a boy, aren't we? We're told there, "To us a son is given." And that's exactly what Jesus was. And then over in the book of Micah, we read this, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." Now, I just love how specific the Bible is here, how much attention to detail is paid, because not only does the Bible tell us that Jesus will be born in Bethlehem, but because there were 2 places called Bethlehem at the time, one in Judea and the other in Galilee, to save confusion, he's really specific, isn't he? He says that this Messiah will come out of, be born in Bethlehem Ephrathah. Specifically, that little town in Judea, just outside of Jerusalem. So going back now to that scene of the Christmas story on that hillside, as the angel speaks to the shepherd, they suddenly realise to themselves that all of these promises that we've just been looking at, and many more that have been made in the Old Testament, have now been fulfilled. They've now come true, that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has finally arrived. As we thought about earlier, it's great to receive a present that's just what we're looking for and hoping for. And you know, Jesus is just that. Okay, well, as we continue to think about what the angel said to the shepherds on that hillside outside Jerusalem, I'm just going to open my next present. So is there anyone who would like to help me with this? Yep, like to come up? Yes, yep. Now let's find it for you. Here it is. Right, what's going to be in here, I wonder? You want to open it and find out? Got to find a little open-y bit, haven't you? And then pull it out. It's very shiny, this paper. That's it. Oh, there it is. Thank you very much. That's funny, isn't it? What is this? A card inside some wrapping paper. Thank you very much. You can go and sit down now. I'll take it from here. A card inside some wrapping paper, and it's got "Dear Gary" on it. Well, I suppose we should open this envelope and see who it's from, what it says. It says, "Dear Gary, wishing you and the family a very special Christmas and a happy new year. Lots of love, Uncle John and Auntie Anne." They're my uncle and aunt down in Cornwall. That's lovely, isn't it? And you know what? Not only is it a card, but there's something else in here. Can anyone guess what else they've put in here? Yeah? Some money. Yeah, you're right. They've put some money in here. Can anyone guess how much money? What do we reckon? At the back? A fiver? No, it's not a fiver. More than that. What do you reckon, Johnny? Not a 2p check? No, they could have written a check, yep. Not £20. They've given me £50. Have you ever seen a £50 note before? Look at that. £50 from my uncle and aunt all the way down in Cornwall. And you know what? I really wasn't expecting that because I never really see my uncle and aunt that much. And when you get to my age, you don't get sort of gifts from your long-lost aunties and uncles. And yet, they've given me a £50 note. Well, that was certainly more than I was ever expecting. Well, that reminds me, actually, that back in our story, when those angels met those shepherds on that hillside, this baby that had been born was called the Lord. Okay? The Lord has been, he today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this was wonderful news. It was certainly more than they were expecting. You see, not only was Jesus, as we thought about earlier, the Messiah, the promised King, but in calling him Lord, the angel was announcing that this special baby was also God in human flesh. So not only is Jesus King, not only is he the Messiah, but he is also God. How about that? That's quite amazing, isn't it? And it's something which can be very often overlooked as we celebrate Christmas, that God himself, the one who made the heavens and the earth, all the plants and the animals, as well as you and I, humbled himself and came to the very earth that he created and was born as a baby on that very first Christmas and then became a man and lived among us. I mean, how incredible is it that God would choose to do that? You see, it's great when we get a present that's just what we were hoping for, isn't it? And as we just thought about it, it's great to get a present that is more than we were actually expecting. And yet Jesus is just that. Let's open my last present, shall we? Remember that I've already had a Christmas jumper that was just what I was hoping for. And I've also had some money in a card, which was more than I was expecting. So I wonder what's underneath this wrapping paper. Can anyone come and help me? Okay, front you come. Sophie? Now, got a bit of a Christmas cracker here. Should we try and pull it and see? Oh, it's not that type of Christmas cracker. Okay, do you want to try and unwrap it? We might do some damage if we don't. I don't think you have to worry too much about the nice wrapping paper. If you can get your fingers in there and just rip it open, like you would at home on Christmas Day. Who's done this up? Done it up well, haven't they? Right, there we go. Just help me. That's it. It's a good old wrapping paper, isn't it? I wonder what is in here. It's well wrapped up, anyway. There you go. Look at that. What is that, Sophie? Blue Star de-icer. Thank you very much, Sophie. Blue Star de-icer. What do we use this for? What do you reckon, Ben? Yeah, we could. Yeah, you could. They do use bigger stuff on roads, yeah. But this particular one is used on cars. That's right. Yeah, on cars when they get icy on a winter's morning, as the mornings get colder and the windows on our cars get frostier. This is going to be ideal, isn't it? This is going to be ideal and an ideal gift. And I'm going to be able to use this, aren't I, on my van. As I wake up in the morning, it's going to help me get to work on time. In fact, I think it's probably something that everyone should carry in their cars. It's just, in fact, what I needed. So I haven't got any. I've run out in my car at the moment. And, you know, when we go back to that first Christmas story again, when those angels told the shepherds that a Saviour had been born, they too realised that this was just what everyone needed. Just like that de-icer, it's just what I need on a cold, frosty morning. When I wake up and get out of bed and I think, oh no, my car's frosted up. I need some de-icer. These shepherds were told that a Saviour had been born. So why do those shepherds, or did those shepherds, need a Saviour? And why do we need a Saviour? Well, let me try and explain by way of looking at this guy. Father Christmas, okay? You see, at Christmas time, there seems to be a lot of confusion between this guy, Father Christmas, and Jesus Christ. In fact, when you think about it, on the surface, they do seem to have quite a lot of things in common, don't they? For example, we usually think of them both as having beards. I don't know why that is, but we do. We also think of them as having lots of little children scurrying around them, don't we? And they also share part of the same name, Christ and Christmas. Then as well as that, they're also pretty nice guys, aren't they? Perhaps why they're bombarded each year with wish lists. But if you look a bit deeper, you will discover that there are some fundamental differences between them. You see, whereas Father Christmas only gives gifts to those who have been good, Jesus doesn't. He, although he knows we haven't been good, still rewards us, doesn't he? With Father Christmas, we're not quite sure whether we've been good enough to receive a gift from him. And yet with Jesus, it doesn't matter. Even if we haven't been good enough, he still rewards us. He willingly loves and forgives us, even when we haven't done what we should have done. Someone has put it this way, rather helpfully. Father Christmas gives you what you want if you're good, whereas Jesus Christ gives you what you need if you recognize you're bad. And that's why we need Jesus. Jesus is God's gift to us. He's our only hope of salvation, because the Bible tells us that all have sinned and all have fallen short of his glory. That no one is righteous, no one is perfect amongst us, not even one. You see, the reality is that because we all sin and we all do things which don't please God, we are eternally separated from our holy Creator. And so that's why God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on that very first Christmas. God saw that he is just what we needed. He knows that we can't save ourselves, and so he sent us a Saviour. Someone said that if our greatest need had been information, then God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, then God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, then God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need is forgiveness. And so God sent us a Saviour. As the Bible tells us, we all need to be saved. The question is, do we recognise that? And if we have, are we willing to bow the knee, to turn away from those things that we do wrong and displease God, and start following Jesus, starting this Christmas and then going on throughout our lives? Because, you know, the Bible makes another promise. We looked at some promises earlier, didn't we? But the Bible makes another promise in the New Testament. It says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. You see, Jesus is the greatest gift we could ever receive. He is just what we were hoping for. The promised King, the promised Messiah. He is more than we were expecting. He is God come to earth in human flesh. And he is just what we need. He is a Saviour who has come to save us from our sins.